Matthew 26. I, of course, have never forgotten anything. One day I didn't bring my Bible, however. And though I can quote most things that I'm going to teach, I like to be able to read it. Matthew 26 is Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, taking his what is now 11 disciples, because Judas has jumped ship, and assigning those 8, stay here and pray. And he takes Peter, James, and John, and we're over here, and we're going to pray. And he says, I want you to watch with me. In other words, I want you to stand by my side. I want you to be with me. And it says his heart was very heavy, exceeding sorrowful. And I don't know if you've ever been that sorrowful, but most everybody's hit a spot in the road where their heart was broken. He says in verse 39, that's the verse I want you to hear. He went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, or not as I will, but as thy will. If it be possible, let this cup, the cup of death, the cup of surrender, the cup of sacrifice, the cup of suffering that he's fixing to face in order to rescue the world, for all the world have sinned, and he's going to rescue the world. He has a deep sense of the trauma that's going to be. And he said, is it possible? In other words, could we do this some other way? Have you ever been there and you thought, is this the way we have to do it? But in spite of that, he said, verse 42, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away, if it's not possible, if this can't change, if this is the way it has to be done, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came, look at Hebrews 10, completely surrendered to the Father's will. He came to do the Father's will. He made that very clear. The book of John is very repetitive, and we're going to read some of those. But look at Hebrews 10 when it talks about his arrival to earth and the will of God. He wasn't out doing his own thing. I don't know if you thought about when he healed one at the Pool of Bethesda and he didn't heal anybody else. He was in line with his Father's will and was doing exactly as his Father had directed him. Said, why didn't God heal the others? I have no idea. One thing I've learned as a teacher, I don't have all the answers. And when I teach ministerial students, which I've done around the world, I try to encourage them, don't make up any answer. Just say, we don't know. He healed one. That man wasn't even in faith. He didn't even know who Jesus was. And he moved on. Because he is directly in line with the Father's will, doing what the Father has deemed right. And he's listening and hearing the Father. Now, in Hebrews 10, that's what it says. Verse 7, Lo, I come. The day he came in the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. He came to do the will of God. He came in a physical body. He was spirit being. Now in a physical body, he's both Son of Man and Son of God. 79 times he's called Son of Man because he is God in human flesh to substitute for you, to do the will of God, to bring the great plan of redemption to pass. And in that plan is healing power. And when you say God doesn't heal today, you've canceled out part of the great plan of redemption and part of the will of God. It was God's intent that his stripes would heal our diseases. Now, if you go back to John chapter 4, he said, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans had no dealing, and it says he must needs go through Samaria. In other words, the disciples, they'd all been surprised. There's Galilee, Samaria, and then Judea. Ordinarily, the Jews would go from Galilee around where they would not go through Samaria. He said, no, I have to go through Samaria. See, he had a sense of what the Father wanted, of the Father's will. And there he met the woman, and he said, I'll offer you living water. And all she knew was water, you know, H2O. And so she said, well, where would I get the living water? And he talked to her, and he told her. See, now he's in submission to the Father's will. He's not out doing his own thing. That's where we've missed it, thinking he's just doing what he wanted to do and what he thought was appropriate. No, he's doing what his Father asked him to do. He's listened to his Father by the Spirit that came upon him the day he was baptized by John the Baptist. And he's following the Spirit to do what God wanted. And then he said, you've had 5 husbands. The man you're living with is not your husband. See, he knew that because God sent him that word by the Spirit. As a man, it says in Philippians 2, he laid aside his mighty power and glory. He came without the power of heaven that he was heir to, that he had always functioned under, because he's going to be man and God. He's always God, and he's going to do the will of God by the Spirit and bring us into the kingdom, those who his word will hear it. Now, you got all that right. He said, woman, verse 21, believe me. That's all he wants from any of us, is to hear and believe and then act accordingly. And then he talks about God being a spirit being. He's a spirit being in a physical body. We're spirit beings in a physical body, connected body and spirit by the mind, which is the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. And then he says in verse 34, when the disciples come back, they had actually gone into town to get lunch. It's noontime. The Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock. Doesn't matter what the sun is doing. 6 o'clock is the first hour of daylight. Every time, all the time. That's why when you read in the scripture, it'll say it's the third hour of the day. It's the ninth hour of the day. The ninth hour of the day, of course, would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how they told time. Not by the sun, but by the day, 6 o'clock. Which they're telling by the sundial, by the way. Okay, that's not confusing. Verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat, the thing that gives me nourishment, the thing I thrive on, the thing I came to do. Now, if you wanted something special to eat, I mean, you'd be thinking, no, I don't want that. No, not that. Now, Miss Melinda and I agreed on chocolate pound cake, but she's jumped ship to whole wheat toast. I just want you to know that. My meat, he's the thing that I thrive on. The reason I came was to do the Father's will, was submit to the Father's word. Now, if you look to chapter 5, verse 19. Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Do you see that? He can do nothing by himself, of his own initiative, of his own accord. He's not writing the script. He's not deciding what to do. He's listening to the Father. He's obeying the Father's word. The Father intends that you should be redeemed, that you should be saved, that you should be healed, that you should be prospered, that you should have peace beyond understanding, that you should have a heavenly home, that you should have be a child of God, that you should be an heir of God. All that was intended, and Jesus comes to lay the foundation and to sacrifice his life to pay the price for you and I so that God's intent can come to pass. And he says, the Son can do nothing. Do you know what nothing is? If I gave you nothing to eat, you know how much that is? So he said, the Son can do nothing. Now I'll read you the voice translation, which says, the Son can do nothing of his own. All his actions are led by the Father. The Son can do nothing of his own. All his actions are led by the Father. The Son watches the Father closely and then mimics the work of the Father. Now, he's human, and yet he's God. So how is he watching the Father? The same way that you would watch the Father. He's having a vision, a dream, a word from the Spirit, a divine unction, an inward witness. He's doing it the same way you would. He's watching in by the power of the Spirit in his humanity to see what the Father's doing, and then say he's going to mimic or he's going to follow what the Father's doing. He's going to follow the Father all the way to Calvary, and knowing, having a sense of what was going to happen, he said, is it possible that we could do this some other way? You notice it wasn't possible. And he was fully surrendered to the will of God. Now, a lot of times God asks things of me that I don't think is a really good idea. Has that ever happened to you? I kept sensing, we've had new neighbors. We've had dozens of new neighbors. We don't exactly have neighbors where we live. But anyway, the closest house over, an older couple there, and she'd wave at me, and I'd wave at her, and she'd talk and talk, and I don't have any idea what she's saying because I can't hear her from there. And I'd wave and say, it's good to see you. Yeah. Well, what'd she say? One said, I said, I have no idea what she said. But the Lord kept dealing with me to go over there and take her an apple pie. Well, I happen to bake the best apple pie in the county. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's strictly my own personal opinion. It was my Aunt Noelle's recipe. And one day she said to me, she sure wish she had a good recipe for apple pie. I thought, why don't you use the one you gave to me? And anyway, I've baked it for years. It's baked in the oven in a paper bag. That's all you should get to know. And he said, the son can do nothing of himself, so he's mimicking, he's watching the father so that he can father the father's will. Now, I didn't really think going across, because I have to cross the canal, or else get in my car. It's just right over there. But if I have to get in my car, it's right over there. I think it's a good idea. I put it off for about 3 days until I said, all right, Lord, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I carried it over there, and I went into the canal. Was its drainage canal, part of it out of Lake Parker. It's a gated canal, so it doesn't always have water in it. So it didn't have much water in it, so I waded through and knocked on the front door. My house faces her back door. I went around, knocked on the front door. And she invited me in. I told her that I brought her this pie. And as I was sitting there and talking to her and listening to her, actually, you don't talk to her. You kind of, Same conversation we had, except this time I was close enough to kind of hear what she was saying. And I noticed on the piano was a picture of three children. I babysat those children. I can't remember their names now, but I called their names. She said, how'd you know that? I said, because my daddy lived at 304 and they lived at 308. My daddy always called his house 304. And they lived at 308. And they were her grandchildren. See, God has intent and purpose. If he can get us to follow, follow. I'll follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on. He has a purpose. He has a way. He has a will. So God has purpose. Now it says the secret things belong unto the Lord. You know what that means? God doesn't always tell you what you'd like to know. Some things are none of your business. And you just have to deal with that. And if God doesn't answer, forget it. Say hallelujah and move right on. I'm not a particularly curious person. In fact, I've gotten in trouble for not knowing things they thought I would know. But if you don't tell me, I don't usually ask. I don't usually know what you don't tell me. And somebody said, what happened to her? I wouldn't have told them if I'd have known, but usually I don't know. So that's okay. Now, the son can do nothing of himself, by himself, of his own accord. He's not initiating anything. He's listening to the Father. The Spirit came on him when he was baptized. He's following the Spirit who's bringing him the word from the Father. What he sees the Father do, whatever he sees the Father do, this is what he does. He's copying what he sees, that would be by vision or dream, from the Father. So when he says, the works that I do shall you do, if he was doing it by the supernatural power of heaven, which he brought with him, the power he had had from all eternity, he needn't ask me to follow him. So whatever I do, you do. The only way I can do that is the same way he did it. By the Spirit. He's a demonstration of what we can do as we walk with God, as we follow God. He said, the works that the Father shows me, these works I do. All back to doing the will of God, to bringing the will of God and the fullness of God's plan to earth and making it available for whosoever will. I listen to CDs and teaching and music during the night. I know you were sleeping, but I probably wasn't. And there's a scripture that says, and he healed whosoever of whatsoever. And I don't know, it's because I listened to that many, many times, it suddenly dawned on me. He healed whosoever of whatsoever. Do you see how big that is?
Yes.
Whosoever of whatsoever?
Yeah.
And then you go back to Deuteronomy, it names the diseases of the day. Emrods. Mildew, that's my favorite. What happened to her? She mildewed. I mean, who knows what the diseases are? And then it goes on to say, in every sickness and every disease, knowing that they haven't named everything, they might have left something out. God's interested in you, whosoever, of whatsoever is wrong with you. And Jesus came to pay for whosoever would believe of whatsoever struggle they had. Isn't that amazing? Now, verse 39 says basically, verse 30 it is. I can of my own self do nothing. I can of my own self. In other words, of my own initiative, of my own will, I can't do it. He's dependent upon the Spirit. So when he says to me, the works that you do, he said, you depend on the Spirit like I depend upon the Spirit, and you can do, he said, even greater works than I'm doing. Most of us be happy if we just hit the same works. We just did as well as he was doing. I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. As I hear. He's repeating to you what he's heard from the Father. He's doing what he's seen in the Father. He's doing that by the power of the Spirit that came upon him when he was baptized. And he's leaving you to do the greatest work that he's doing, just exactly like he's doing it by the Spirit. Now, let me read you the voice. This will be, I have never acted, and I will not in the future act on my own. That's translated this verse. I listen to the directions of the one who sent me and act. I listen to the direction of the one that sent me and act as he directs. See, this is important to me and important to you as we reach out to do the works of God, that all we have to do is lean and depend on the Spirit. I can't heal the sick. You can't either. But the resident power of God comes upon you and works through you. And you can be, say, I can of my own self do nothing. But see, that lets you off the hook completely. You couldn't do it to start with. I can of my own self do nothing. But Jesus said in John 15, the works that I do, you will do. You can do. And you just do it by the Spirit. Now, results don't depend on me exclusively. You have a part to play. I'm going to give my faith to you. And what power is resident or comes through me at the moment? You don't carry the power of 24 hours a day. It comes upon you. It's resident through you. And I'm going to give what I have and what I can to you. And I'm depending on you to hook up with me for us to work together. And if you were, one fellow used this example, I like it. If you were only 66% faith, I could add my 40% faith and we could get you over the line where you needed to be. And we can work together. That's why I let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over here in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will. It doesn't say the prayer of faith might, it could, I hope so, cross your fingers, never know. The prayer of faith will save the sick, the prayer of faith. Well, you weren't completely in faith. You weren't prepared to pray from faith. But what you knew and where you stood, I added what I know and what I believe, and we together agree. The elders come, those mature in the Lord. You understand that we have help. We're not standing by ourselves. Now, I have never acted, and I will not in the future act on my own. I listen to the directions of the one who sent me and act. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. I am committed to pursuing God's agenda, not my own. See, sometimes that's what goes wrong in our life. It wasn't really that God spoke or God directed this. This is just what I wanted. Now, when we redid Daddy's house, Wayne took Daddy over there and put several different swatches of color on the back. They were all shades of orange and rust and tan. That was the norm at the time. And asked him to pick what he liked best. And he said, you'd have to know my mother always had the house painted green. Green. And he looked and looked. He said, why can't we do green? Where's Mama's green? Well, it was a lime green. It was an obvious green. It was, I saw it from three blocks out, green. You know that shade? Knowing we were going to sell the house eventually, we wanted to be a, we thought one of the beiges or tans that were in style would be better than Mama's lime green. But he didn't think so. See, and any time you contradict what God is thinking, you're on the wrong pathway. You remember we did Hebrews 12:1, there's a path set before you? You got to stay on the path that God dictates, on the one that he outlines. And you can be honest with God. I say, that didn't seem like a good idea to me, you know? I'm just telling you in case God gets confused, you know. You have to really help him sometimes. I've tried that. It never works out, by the way, because he's always right. His path is always right. His word always works. The Spirit always comes. He said, ask and you shall receive. Not you might receive, you could receive. I hope you receive. Give it a shot. You could. This might work for you. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock. The door will be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives. That's pretty big. Well, have you ever asked and you didn't receive? Mm-hmm. Well, we go over to James and he gives us several reasons. And if none of those reasons fit your case, then you know And God doesn't speak to you and tell you, forget it, move on. But it says, you have not because you ask not. So some of the reason we don't receive is we didn't ask. There is a spirit of assumption that dominates many churches. They just assume the will of God's always being done. That's not the case. He said, ask, ask, ask. The will of God's not always being done. And then he says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. So I saw something happened, and I asked God, why in the world did that happen? And he said, he only said one word. He said, lust. I went, right. You know, sometimes Wayne and I can't make a decision because he wants me to decide, and I would just rather him decide. I said, where do you want to go for supper? Wherever you want to go. I said, no, you decide. He said, no, I don't, you decide. And we waste 30, 45 minutes.
She knows after I decide.
And we go to the same place we always go to. We only go to two or three places because I do not like new places. I like to go where I'm always gone, and so that's what we usually do, even though we open our options to do otherwise. You have only one option, the will of God.
Amen.
That's your only option.
Yes,
and the will of God is going to bring great reward. And when you pray amiss, you know you just what you prayed was dumb. Have you ever done that?
No.
I'm the only one?
No.
God's going to ignore you. Now look at chapter 6. See, when you come to ask for healing, that's the will of God. It's always the will of God. You qualify for ask and receive. Jesus came to promote the will of God and to lay down the pattern of the will of God so we could follow him in the pattern and get the results that he was getting. Right? 6 verse 38. This is so repetitive, and I just want you to get how important it is. God doesn't repeat anything that he wants you to forget. Verse 38. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He came in full surrender. And when he faced the cross, he was still surrendered. He said, is it possible that we could do this some other way? And it wasn't. And then you have verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's the bottom line of the will of God, that you could believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you could be saved. And the day you die, heaven is your home. There was a little lady, very, very elderly. She actually fell and broke her leg, broke her knee or something. And she laid there in bed, and the sun, Lakeland Regional, the sun came in from her window, and the blinds were open, and it shined right in her face. And when it did, she raised her hand to heaven, and she was gone. Unafraid. There are people that they're just finished. It's okay to be finished. If you're finished, you call me, and I'll... Of course, if I think you're not finished, I reserve the right to say you are not finished. Okay, turn to chapter 7, verse 16. My doctrine, what I'm teaching you, what I'm saying to you, what I'm revealing my Father, is not mine but him that sent me. Everything he said was the word the Father sent him to say. Everything he did was the deed the Father directed him to do. See, and I can begin to function in that same way. Because he said what he did I could do, well, then I've got to do them like he did. Then I know when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, because the scripture said that. And I have to fasten my faith. And sometimes I'm fastening my faith, and you turn loose of yours. I've prayed for people. And the minute I finished, she said, and my doctor said, and then he said, and then he thought, and there was an ounce of faith, and my faith is stuck out there all by itself. Well, I don't get lonely by myself, but you won't get results that way. You understand that? You've got to be as anchored as I am. Now, when you anchor with somebody, you choose somebody that knows the word, that's mature in the word, somebody you know is going to hold fast to you, somebody's not going to turn loose of you. Okay, y'all are staring at me again today. Look at chapter 8. Book of John is very easy to read because it's completely repetitive, and I like that. Now in chapter 8, verse 28, says, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I'm He. I do nothing of myself." Now that's the third or fourth or fifth time we've read. I'm not doing this by myself. He's doing it by the power of heaven. He's doing it by heaven's direction. I do nothing. How much is in a nothing?
No.
Just checking. Do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. The translation said, "The things I have learned directly from my Father, I am speaking." You know, sometimes the things we're speaking is not exactly true to what God had said. Have you ever been there? And what happens is we don't really know how to answer your question. We want to help you, but we don't really know how to help you. We don't know what to say. So what are we going to say on those occasions? "I'll pray for you, but I don't know at this time." Now, I found out once I prayed and had the answer and called them back, they weren't interested in the answer anymore, which means they would never have gotten anything the first time. You understand? Because people will be people. Then he said, "As my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. He that sent me is with me. By the Spirit, the Father walked with the Son to do the great plan." They're moving towards the cross and the sacrifice and the resurrection and the blood on the altar of heaven that secured everything that you would need. Forgiveness of sin, remission, it is, blotting out, declaring no sin, your case paid and closed. Healing of disease. See, it provided you with everything you would need. It was provided through, now look at Acts 2. It was provided through Jesus' death and resurrection. He came to do the work of God. I wrote him up there. To do the will of God, to do the work of God, and to speak the word of God. And he's not writing his own script. He's listening to the Father. This is why sometimes we don't get results, because we wrote our own script. We decided that's what we need. You know, I don't hesitate to say if I'm supposed to do something, I can't do something. When they ask me to do something, I say, I'll have to pray about it. And then if I don't get any answer, I said, I just can't do it at this time. I'm not clear on whether or not I should do that. Sometimes you're not clear because it's okay to do it. You have to know the difference when you pray. And sometimes you're not clear because you shouldn't do it. So you have to kind of walk. That's a line you walk. Now look at verse 22. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs." Miracles, wonders, and signs. He's a miracle-working God. Is that what we played? He's a miracle working God. "Which God did." Who did them? God did them. Who did the work through Jesus? God did it. Who's going to do the work through you? Who's going to do the work in you? And then this, I love this phrase, "as you yourself know." We all, of course, knew that. This is part of the problem. We all don't, of course, know that. Okay. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." That's the phrase you should remember. Here is the Message Bible. "Him being delivered by the deliberate and well thought out plan of God." The NIV says a prearranged plan. Wasn't a last minute effort when Adam sinned and he said, "Oh, now what are we going to do? The man has chosen the wrong tree. I told him not to do that." But see, he had a prearranged plan. The deliberate, well-thought-out plan of God. No, the minute Adam sinned, the plan that had already been written was now in play. Well, let's look at it again, because it's in Revelation chapter 13. God didn't write any last-minute plan. Verse 8, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of..." When was he the Lamb slain? When was he the sacrifice? When was it scripted? When was it written? When was it declared? from the foundation of the world, long before Adam sinned. It was all, look, let's look at it again in 1 Peter. He's a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know. I love those phrases because a lot of times when we have those phrases, it's something we really don't know too well. We really weren't too secure in. You all knew this. I've had people say to me, well, you know about Mama, and I'm thinking, no. I want to say, you have a mama? She's still living? I don't, you know. They make assumptions. You can't make assumptions and walk with God. You've got to be a student of the Word. You've got to let the Word soak into your spirit and dominate your life. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You can't buy your way in. And you can't buy your way into healing. Healing was provided through redemption, through the plan of God that was thought out and written before the foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve were created. There was the plan. And as we walked towards the crucifixion, it was necessary because Adam didn't obey his instructions that would have set the plan in order. You see that. If you don't, you read Genesis, you will see it. Now look. Not silver and gold from, and the word conversation in the scripture is always the word activity, or it's not the word to talk. It's the word to do. From your vain activity received by tradition from your fathers. Now this is where we go wrong over and over and over again. People talk to you, and I'm not brilliant. I was raised in the denominational church. I learned things the hard way. I was 30 years old. I didn't know I was spirit, soul, and body. First time I heard that, I was flabbergasted. I thought, why didn't anybody mentioned that? I didn't know anything. I learned as I've grown older. I know more and more. I still find things. I read verses and I think, what in the world does that mean? I don't know what that means. We receive some things from tradition, and you can talk to people. I can talk to people and tell you what church they were raised in most of the time, because they buy into some traditional teachings that are not part of the scripture, and they make mistakes. Okay, but here's how you were redeemed, how your debt was paid, your bill was paid, and the abundant provision was sent to you with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained when? Foreordained means it was planned and known ahead of time. Foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Do you see it was foreordained before Adam, and it was manifest completely. It was okay. Isaiah, all the prophets had a touch of it, a hint of it, and Isaiah gave us a marvelous, marvelous section of scripture on the plan. But it says, "Who it was foreordained, but was manifest in the last times." Even when the disciples saw him crucified, and they were told he's alive, we've seen him, it said they believed not. They thought, nah. They're just believing he couldn't be raised from the dead because nobody's raised from the dead. People don't come back to life. We know that. We all know that. And then he just walked right through the wall. It says the door was closed. That means we're supposed to know he didn't open the door. And he said, "These look at my hands." And but Thomas wasn't there. And they told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And they said, "No, I won't believe unless I see." Anytime we take a stand, "I won't believe this lest I see it, lest I feel better, lest I have," we're already taking a step back from the path of redemption, from the fullness of what God had for us, from the thing that's already paid for. See, if they call me from, well, I don't know what store. I've been thinking I'd go to Macy's and buy some new shirts. So you call me from Macy's. They call me from Macy's and say there was a lady here that bought 10 shirts. Now, don't go buy me any shirts. I have a closet full of shirts. I'd be right over, check that out. I would. I love shirts. You know, if you have 36 shirts, you only need 6 pair of trousers. You knew that, right?
Absolutely.
You know how the world works? That's it. You got to have, cause I don't like jeans, so I don't wear jeans too much. I wear them in the house sometimes. I have black pair and blue pair, and I bought a grayish pair, but I haven't figured out how to wear that because I always wear black and blue. You know, I'm 77. 77 years I've been wearing black and blue, so I couldn't figure out. I don't know. You know, they were on sale and they were cheap. Have you ever fallen into that trap?
Yes.
And I thought, Why not a gray pair?
Yeah.
And then couldn't find a... I looked through my closet. I have shirts like this many. I couldn't find a shirt.
Oh, now you got to go buy a shirt.
Yeah. May have to throw one in the washer and dye it, you know. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Desperate people do dumb things. That's how that works. Here's the plan. The plan is in order. All he asks you to do is to believe in the plan and put the words of the plan in your mouth. Say, I believe by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I know I was healed. I know my disease was paid for. There was the plan before Adam to pay for disease and to pay for sin and to bring peace beyond understanding, Isaiah 53:5. That was the plan. That was on the schedule. That was on God's docket. That was what Jesus declared. He only said what his Father said, and that's what the Father was demonstrating, was the fullness of the plan that's coming to pass. And then he died and was resurrected, and the plan was in order. Put his blood on the altar of heaven. Now, mash the button, the plan works. Here's what keeps the plan from working. I don't feel any better. Or that wonderful medical person. Now, I love my doctor. And I go some. But we're not always in agreement. And I say, you know, I'll get back to you. I have to pray about that. And he goes, you didn't have a clue what's wrong with me. But great Redeemer, we adore thee. We thy love and grace proclaim. Thou art mighty. Thou art holy. I'm following the great Redeemer. I'm following the plan. I'm praying long enough to get access to the plan and how that plan is going to work in my life. It may work different from me than it does for you. You may just confess your healing and it comes. I may need laying on of hands and it comes. I may need a group of elders to pray for me. It doesn't matter how it comes. It's available. It is going to come if you pray and get access to the way God's going to send it. Now, okay, look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Okay. Isaiah 53 gives us the unraveling of the plan centuries before the plan was ever finalized. Isaiah saw it in the spirit. And the plan's not come to pass for hundreds of years, but this is how it's going to come to pass. And he said, verse 5, he was wounded for transgressions, bruised for iniquities. Wounded and bruised. Isaiah said, it is going to happen. He's so certain, he said, he was wounded. He didn't say he will be wounded. He said he was. Because he knew God's plan is going to come to pass. God is going to forgive and remit and blot out sins. He is going to heal diseases. He is going to provide peace. And he said he was wounded. He was bruised. And he says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. One translation said everything that was necessary for peace was on him. Now, you know, a lot of times, I don't know, I'm disturbed and I'm upset and I'm uptight. Has that ever happened to you? No? Yes? And I don't know exactly why. In fact, if I knew why I was so disturbed, it might be the first time in my life that I understood myself. I just, you know, I'm thinking. And Wayne, because he's perceptive, after 58 years, he knows me back and front, and he said, what's wrong with you? And now I thought, if I knew that, I'd solve it. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to sit with the God of the universe and say, what's wrong with me? I feel terrible. Great Redeemer, we adore thee. We adore him because he's on your side and the plan's been finalized. It's finished. See, my daddy's will was written and finished decades before he ever died. He did that well in advance. And we were heirs long before we stepped into the inheritance. I have a brother and a sister. The plan was finished. This plan is finished once there's the cross and the resurrection and the blood on the altar. It's finished. It's written. It's done. You are healed. It's done. So I feel sick. You look sick. That doesn't bother me at all because there is in your belly a great Redeemer.
Yes, amen.
We adore thee.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I don't apologize for hollering. That's just what I do. What can I say? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, everything that would stress you out, he's already paid for and taken in advance. Upon him. Peace was the chastisement of our peace. Everything necessary to bring you peace was on him. Now, when I begin to pray, I want to know how to get it from him to me. Isn't that what you want? I want the peace that's paid for. The first thing you do is begin to raise your hand and say, thank God I have peace. Thank God I have peace. Thank God I have peace. And by his stripes, it doesn't say we will be healed. It says we are healed. We are healed. We are healed. It's done. It's finished. Your case is closed. All you have to do is with your confession and your knowledge of the word and a helper, if you need a helper, is you close the door to it. Amen. Jesus closed the door. Yeah. Now you close the door. How do you close the door? I say, thank God by his stripes. Even in the middle of the night, I raise my hands and say, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Wayne always says, do you need anything? You need anything? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you. I'm sure I've been we've been married 58 years. I'm sure I've been a challenge for 58 years. But there's a great Redeemer who closed your case. Your case is closed and sealed, finished and over. And all you have to do is finish it with your words and your faith. Amen. Shut the door. Amen. Shut the door. Seems like there was a song that said shut the door, wasn't there? Anybody want to sing the Shut the Door song? Now look. 1 Peter 2, 24, which you know. I guess you do. You should. Says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. He already carried sin. You see, his own self, he bore them. He already carried them. He already buried sin. Everything you should do. Now, I'm a Christian. I've stepped into the kingdom. I have the life and nature of God on the inside, but I make a tragic mistake. Or I make a stupid mistake. I don't usually do tragic. I do stupid fairly well. Do you? What do you do? I make a stupid mistake. I go right to 1 John 1 because my case is closed. My debt's been paid for. And he says, if you confess your sin, Becky, and faithful and just to forgive you your sin, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, confess that. Your case is closed. I've already paid that debt. All I have to do is say, this is what I did. This is what, it's usually something I said. This is what I said that I should not have said. And the door that's closed. See, I cracked the door open with my stupidity. And then God, with my confession, slams that door again. Because it's over. It's been over for centuries of time. It's been over for centuries of time. Now this man, you might know him by name. He's a very fine minister of the gospel. We've followed him for years. And I didn't know his life story. And he said that he was, and there was a reason for that, but he had gotten involved in drugs and alcohol because of a family member. And he said, I was sitting, and he called it a sleazy bar. And I don't know one bar from the other, because the only bar I've ever seen is the one that was in the middle of some restaurant. And so, he said he was in a sleazy bar. And the Lord spoke to him. See, his case was closed. It had been closed forever. He was raised in church till his family member got in trouble, and I think he kind of reacted to the trouble. And the God spoke to him and said, what are you doing here? His case is closed. His debt's been paid. Your disease is healed. It is healed. And see, the more I think about it, the more I ponder it, how much pain I'm in and how long this has taken and how this medicine's not working and what did they, you know, the more I do, the wider that door opens. But when I begin to say, I know by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I know you sent your word and healed me. I know this weapon formed against me is not going to prosper. Bam! Slam shut. Keep the door shut. Yes. And it starts with your words and your faith and your friend. Then it says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin. When were you dead to sin? You're already dead to sin. Sin's already dead in you. Well, you brought it to life by something you did or said. We've all done that, so we're not throwing stones at anybody. But you're to live unto righteousness. I'm to let the righteousness of God that came in me the day I confessed Jesus, or I'm to let that righteousness dominate my behavior, dominate all my decisions. And when I make a mistake, I make a decision I regret, I just say, Lord, I know, I confess this, you're faithful and just to forgive me. And when I have disease in my body that shouldn't be there, because by his stripes it says, you were healed. I don't care how you feel or what your diagnosis is, you are healed. God says you are healed. You either are healed or God's a liar.
I'm healed.
You are healed.
Yes.
Well, I don't feel healed. And you don't look healed.
I'm healed.
But I begin to close that door. I say, oh, thank you for the stripes. Thank you for the stripes. Thank you for peace beyond understanding. Thank you, you bless my bread and water. You take sickness and disease away from me, and the number of my days you fulfill. The number of my days you fulfilled. The number of my days, how many days is it? Well, I know, but I don't know for you, but I know it's not 22. And I know it's not 42. And I know it's not 62. And it probably is not 72. And it may not be 82. And these days, you might make 92. Open your mouth and close that door.
Amen.
So, well, how long is it going to take? As long as it takes.
Amen.
That's how long it's going to take. As long as it takes. Well, this man in the bar, you've forgotten him in the sleazy bar. And God said, what are you doing here? And being the kind of man he is, he said, well, what are you doing here? He said that to God. Well, what are you doing here? And he's the finest minister on the market, one of the finest. Because the door had been closed all that time. And he opened it when his family member failed. And he began to cooperate with sin. And the door swung wider and wider until he was a drunken, alcoholic, drug-dependent young man. And God came just to tell him, you know, that door's closed. That door's closed. And it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. It is. It's closed. Now we have, I don't know what you do, but I like my house perfumed, and so we have these little things, and you put this little thing in it, and you turn it, and you plug it in, and it perfumes certain areas. Well, I had turned the switch on two of them and forgotten it, and I had not noticed the light is burning. See, the light of life is burning. You're supposed to notice that the light is burning. The light of God is burning for you. And we're in bed, and I went. Then it dawned on me. And I leaped out of bed. Wayne thought, he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? I am quick acting, sometimes without notice. And so I was running for that thing to turn that off. Turn that off. Turn that smell off. Sin and disease stinks. Run quickly. Turn it off. With your mouth.